So let's get started. I think with that, I may ask you, Rabbi Mark, to give us an opening prayer, so a blessing, please.
Father Yahweh, thank you for bringing us all here today to study your word. We ask the blessing of your Holy Spirit on Rabbi Bill as he teaches us from the word and about the word and about you, Yeshua, who has brought us these precious gifts. We ask that more be brought to an understanding of these gifts. All who are called need to be made aware of this gift. And in Yeshua's precious name, we ask that we can help spread that gospel.
We do. And to begin with, I feel very, very thankful, and I feel blessed that I'm able to bring a message today to you folks. It's good to be in a group of brothers and sisters. It doesn't have to be a big group. We're not looking for numbers. The Lord will convert whoever he wants to at whatever time frame that he has for people. And so I always look at a meeting that the Lord has brought us together for a particular message, for a particular reason. And he wants whoever is here to be here. The people that are not here for one reason or another, well, unfortunately, they'll miss some good Bible study. And that's what we're all about. We want to stay in the Word. We're talking straight from the Bible. And we're talking about a way of life primarily that's pleasing to Him. That is, we are primarily submitted to Him. I have talked in the past about faith, about patience, about the way of how to be an overcomer. And He wants us to be overcomers. And overcomers of the worldly influence. That's what we're talking about here. We're not talking about becoming necessarily wealthy or having some kind of accolade from the world. That's not what the Lord is concerned about. You know that. We've got to make sure that we understand that. And we've got to make sure that we have the right goal. And once we have that right, the goal that we've been talking about for months and during these messages, and we'll talk more about it today, once we have the right goal, we have got to have and develop a focus. In other words, we have to stay on the beam. We have to stay connected. I talked about the source, the power source. As long as we're hooked up to that power source, as long as we have that Holy Spirit in our bodies, we are the temple. He created us as a temple, His temple. And that's the most important, that in my mind is the most wonderful gift. The gift of salvation, the gift of conversion. That's the number one gift that I thank the Lord for, and that we should be always thankful for. And I want to start out talking about our attitude. If we intend to be an overcomer, if we intend to be a servant and a brother to Yeshua, we have to have the right attitude. And that attitude starts out with thankfulness and thanksgiving. And then it leads into several other areas. But I want to start out with a question to you. How do we come into this proper fellowship? What is our attitude? What kind of an attitude do we have? What is our general feeling and our attitude, number one, towards our Lord and Savior, and then number two, to others, others around us, and that includes family, primarily number one, in that group of others. When you talk about others, other people, we're talking about people in our own family, and then we're talking about our neighbor, we're talking about this fellowship. We're talking about any kind of a fellowship that we may have with like-minded believers. That means if you want to attend a group, such as we did not too long ago with the Caldwells, talking about the proper place for... What was their main...
Sinai.
Yeah, Mount Sinai. That was their main... gist. Of course, they've got other things along the way. But any time we're in a group like that, and did you all notice, or whoever went there, it wasn't a big number of people. It wasn't a Joel Osteen type of a meeting. I hate to bring that up, but I mean, Pastor Abraham said the other day,
we don't have that many people in this town.
Yeah. He said, you know, we've got hundreds of churches that are small, but he says, I come to this United States, and he says, I see these mega churches. I see this one in my mind, the one that he was talking about is Joel Osteen's church in Houston. And now I've got to be careful, because my first feeling about that is, oh man, I don't want to have anything to do with that. I'm sad that so many people are on the wrong track, and that they're not getting fed a good, strong Christian message. They're not getting the meat in the Bible. But be careful, guys, and be careful, Bill, about judging. And I have no idea what Joel Osteen's relationship is to the Lord. And I just pray that it's close and that it gets closer, and that the Lord will continue to speak to him, and he's not influenced by the world. And so that's the end of that. But Pastor Abraham said the most of his meetings he goes to are very small. It's a very small number of people. And the Lord doesn't work normally, at least I don't see it these days, with big, large numbers of people. Billy Graham, he used to have quite an outreach, and he would go into these stadiums, Shea Stadiums and Los Angeles and wherever, these big, huge places, and there would be thousands, probably 100,000 people there, and that's good. And I think that was it was very effective. Billy Graham, wonderful guy. His son Franklin has a ministry going now, in case you ever, if you ever get any mail or any kind of a request for something from Franklin Graham. What is it, some kind of pouch or?
Samaritan's Purse.
Samaritan's Purse. Yes, Samaritan's Purse. And here again, Franklin, the son, is reaching out. Franklin has a sister that is also very an effective evangelist type of a lady. And there are several of these kind of folks in the United States. There are very strong workers, servants, ambassadors for the Lord, including Jack Van Impe. We could all name a few that we know about and that we've heard and that have affected our life in a positive way. But I'm talking about attitude today. And if we don't have this Christian spiritual attitude, how do we develop it? In other words, how do we want to enhance it? How do we want to make it stronger and better? Well, the Bible talks about it. I have got verse after verse after verse after verse. And you guys can look in your concordance. You look in your Bible dictionaries. You look in your different reference books, whatever you might have available. And by the way, we're going to have a lot more books because Orphy has got about five boxes of books, reference books, and books that Craig has used over the years and that we are going to have access to. And you guys are going to have access to that as well. We're not just going to keep this thing under lock and key. And we're going to make it available to anybody. And anybody wants to borrow a book, that you're welcome. And we do have to be careful, though, because people have a tendency when they borrow a book,
they don't return it.
They won't return it. So if you have a a book that's especially dear to you, and it is you know is good, and you want to share it with somebody, just put your name in it, and put your your telephone number or something, because that would remind a person when they look at, oh, where did this book go? This is a great book. Oh, it belongs to Mark Moose. Oh, okay, I'm going to have to give this book back. But anyways, that's what we're talking about. But let's just look into the Bible a little bit here. And the Psalms are full of wonderful references about gratitude, appreciation, the proper attitude, those kinds of things that we need to be living day by day. Day by day. And we need to get into the Bible every single day of our life. We feed on the Bible. When it talks about feeding on Yeshua, I'm talking about communion and that kind of thing. The way you do that is by reading that word, listening to others talk about it, getting involved yourself, spreading that word, talking with other folks, especially in your family. We all have those people in our own family that are obstinate, that can be very tough to talk to. We don't want to talk to them about it. We should. We do have an admonition to reach out and to share our testimony. He is looking, remember, people, the one that is giving you the hardest time is always going to be watching you. He's going to be watching you and say, wait till I just catch him doing something that's nasty or something that's not in the Bible or something that I can rub it in and I can talk to him and say, what about that situation? So I'm just warning you guys, we've got to be careful about how we walk.
And how we react to somebody.
And that's another very important thing.
Live up to a higher standard.
A higher standard is what we're looking at. That's right. And these people, well, they'll say something nasty, or they'll say something that's contradictory, and they'll wonder, what's he going to tell me? What kind of an answer am I going to get from this guy? Is he going to be mean like me? I mean, well, not exactly. They might not be thinking that. But, a kind word to anyone is going to turn away wrath. It's going to make a whole lot of difference, guys. You know from your teachers, from the people, some of your bosses, some of the people that are really have been a positive influence in your life, you can think of those. Those kind of people come to your mind, and you have learned probably something from them, and you want to pass that on. But let's look in the Psalm. Jen, do you have your Bible? Mm-hmm. You want to look in Psalm 92. Leah, how about Psalm 89? And David, look in 1 Chronicles 16. Lana, we're talking about, let's just get a few of those. But Lana, in the meantime, look up Psalm 35. And Porphy, would you look at Psalm 75? And Miranda, how about Psalm 95? Mark, I'd like you to look at Psalm 100. Okay, who's got... Who's there in the Psalm 92? How about verses 1 and 2? Okay. Let's start out with 1 and 2.
Do you want the Living Bible? Or
yeah, that's fine. That's fine.
In the Living Bible it says, "It is good to say thank you to the Lord, to sing praises to the God who is above all gods. Every morning tell him thank you for your kindness, and every evening rejoice in all his faithfulness. Sing his praises accompanied by music from the harp and lute and lyre. You have done so much for me, O Lord. No wonder I am glad. I sing for joy." That went to verse 3.
That's good. That's all right. That's singing joyfully. And that's what I say, guys. If we are joyful, if we are happy, if we're glad that we're alive. I mean, hey, the Lord has got us here for a reason. He's got us here for a reason. And this praise and this joyfulness kind of thing should be a continuous part of our existence. We should be thinking about it, like you said, morning, noon, and night. Psalms 89, verse 7. Did you look at right around verse 7? What do you see there?
"The highest of angelic powers stand in dread and awe of him, who is as reverend as he by those surrounding him."
That's right. So remember, guys, the first person that we got to be thinking about, and that special relationship, that communion, has got to be with Yeshua. Got to be with through the Holy Spirit. You've got to get into the Word. You've got to pray. Pray unceasingly, it says in the Bible. And pray with an open heart, with open ears. Listen. My little grandson is just a very talkative little guy. And man, I can't get a word in edgewise with this kid. And I said, "Now listen, Ben. We got two ears. That means you got to listen twice as much as you got one mouth. So you just talk a little bit and listen more." And, well, okay, it's getting across a little bit. But anyways, you know, that's the truth, guys. We don't have to preach to anybody. But if we can get people to look into the Word, if you have a Bible with you, or you have some Bible verses or something, that is what you want to quote. You don't want to talk about your own. You want to talk about your own experiences. I'm not saying that that's not a very important part of your testimony. But remember, the Scripture will answer a question. And the Scripture, the Word and from this Bible, is going to be much more powerful than anything that you say off the cuff, or anything that you might say from your psychology one, or from your, some kind of understanding that you have of people and how they should be reacting to you. Lana, would you look at what have you got there? What did I ask you?
I've got Psalm 35.
Okay. Let's see. David, did I ask you?
First Chronicles.
Would you start at 16, chapter 16? Would you start with verse 8 and read about 6 or 8 verses in there? This is David. That's a good one. I gave it to you, David. And this is King David, and he's back in the Chronicles talking there. Yeah, what does he have to say?
Starting with verse 8.
Yeah, start with verse 8.
"Give thanks to the Lord and proclaim his greatness. Let the whole world know what he has done. Sing to him, yes, sing his praise. Tell everyone about his wonderful deeds. Exult in his holy name. Rejoice, you who worship the Lord. Search for the Lord and for his strength. Continually seek him. Remember the wonders he has performed, his miracles, and the rulings he has given. You children of his servant Israel, you descendants of Jacob, his chosen one, He is the Lord our God. His justice is seen throughout the land. Remember his covenant forever. The commandment he made to a thousand generations. This is the covenant he made with Abraham and the oath he swore to Isaac. You want me to keep on going?
Yeah, a few more verses.
He confirmed it to Jacob as a decree, and to the people of Israel as a never-ending covenant.
Never-ending covenant, guys. It's a never-ending covenant. Man, it is never going to be violated. It's never going to be terminated. How far is that? What verse is that?
17.
Okay, go on till 20.
I will give you the land of Canaan as your special possession. He said this when you were a few in numbers, a tiny group of strangers in Canaan. They wandered the nations to nations from one kingdom to another.
Okay, we could go further on with that, but we don't have enough time. But if you want to read...
Obama should read that verse.
What, who? Who, hon?
Obama should read that
verse. Oh, I know. Well, certainly. I don't think he's probably...
Mix of politics and religion.
Not reading the Bible, right? I don't think
more than God does. I mean, he's the one who gave him the land and
yeah.
It says right here.
And this
see,
is
that's
just
the
an amplification
thing.
Yeah,
you're bucking your head
against
the brick wall.
Yeah.
I know. It's just amazing, guys.
God's going to come and say, no, I gave it to them. He'll make it clear.
See, now that's what that's a instance there, guys, of hanging with the wrong people. His advisors and the people that Obama circulates with and spends his time and discussions are people that have no idea what's in this word. And if they've read it, oh, I've read the Bible. Are you kidding me? I've read the Bible. I probably read it 5 times. Well, brother, what did you get out of it? What do you understand in it from it? Is your brain like a Swiss cheese or what? I mean, you're not retaining anything. There's nothing there to talk about. How about Psalm 35, Lana? 18? What does Psalm 35, 18 have to say?
Yahweh is near to them that are of a broken heart, and saves such as are of a contrite spirit.
Good. And this could speak to anybody that loses a loved one, anybody that's had a very serious breach in their life that have been affected in a very negative way. And just remember that he understands, that the Lord understands exactly what your situation is. And he is going to make it right. It's going to be worked out. Who's got Psalm? Does anybody have Psalm 75?
I do.
How about verse 1, Porphy? What does it say?
Verse 1. We give thanks to you, O Elohim.
Oh, yeah.
We give thanks for your name is near. Men tell of your wondrous works.
That's right. Elohim, Yahweh, Yahshua, all of these, some of these are titles. We want to talk about his scriptural name, his sacred name. Mm-hmm. Sacred name of Yahweh and a sacred name of the Son, Yeshua. We got to remember that, guys. That's important. He likes to be called, do you guys like to be called, hey, you?
No.
Well, when you're addressed by your name, you feel good. You know that somebody's concerned about you. You know that somebody cares. You know that somebody might have something beneficial for you. They're not just talking to the general public, kind of thing. Yeah, dude. Yeah, right. 95. What did I give? Brenda. 95. Would you read, what does verse 2 say there, 95:2, Miranda?
his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with psalms.
There you go. That's basically very similar to... And the psalms are full of these kinds of things. They're beautiful. Psalm 100, verse 4. Do you have that, Mark?
Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give him thanks. Praise his name.
That's it. That's a very simple thing, isn't it? It's a simple thing to do. It's a very basic thing to do. It's something that we can all do. We can do every day. And we should be. Because we know by reading the Word, guys, by reading in Revelation, and there's several other books that talk about the coming tribulation, that things are going to be... We think things are bad now. Believe me.
They're getting worse.
It's going to be a challenge that only a... There's only not a whole lot of people are going to be able to withstand it. I don't think. That's just my estimate. That's my opinion about it. But if you have the Lord and the Holy Spirit living in your temple, you are victorious. You're going to be victorious, and you're going to be taken on further on. We've got eternal life. We've got the promise. We've got New Jerusalem coming. We've got so many beautiful things, so many beautiful promises, and it's going to be a wonderful deal when we see Satan locked up in the lake of fire, and with no more sin in the world, no more pain, no more the terrible kinds of things that we are faced with and are going to be faced with over the next few years. I just think that time is winding down. It's winding down. So we don't know. Only the Father knows the day when the end is. We'll be here. So, but He gives us the ability to be an overcomer. That's what I'm talking about. How about Psalm 118, Jen? Psalm 136, Leah, and then. David, Romans 1, and also Lana, 1 Corinthians 15, and then for you two guys that are sharing the Bible, Philippians, Mark, Colossians 3. What did I give you?
118.
Test character.
Okay. 118.
That's why I sat in this one last week. I keep remembering to bring the oil. Yeah, almost.
118, look at verse 28. Okay. Leah, look at verse 1 on 136. David, look at verse 21 there in Romans. Lana, verse 57. Go ahead and start off, Jen.
Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is so good, for His loving kindness is forever.
There you go, guys. Forever. What is forever? Forever, you means forever, right? It's not a four-year term like Obama hopefully will serve. Boy, and if it ever said Obama's going to be in there forever, we would be a little bit under the gun here. I would feel a little...
Even more concerned than I do
now. Okay. Lana, would you... Leah. 136, verse 1.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His loving kindness continues forever.
That's it. Forever, forever, forever. Romans 1:21, David.
Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship Him as God or even give Him thanks. Mm-hmm. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. As a result, their minds became dark and confused.
Mm-hmm. That's the world, guys. That's your neighbor. That's your boss sometime in some respects. That's your co-worker. That's your senior fellow, senior citizen. That just are not into the word. They don't understand it because the Holy Spirit doesn't explain it to them.
Or draw them.
It doesn't draw them. That's a good word. You see, we're being called. There's not everybody that's called. And so we've got to expect resistance. We've got to expect most people, I mean, we're a minority. We're going to be a minority. The majority of people are not going to know what's going on. And that's the way with their hearts. Their hearts will become hardened. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear what you got to say to them. But we will continue.
Like in Ephesians 14, it says, "Awake, you that sleep, and arise."
Yes.
"Arise from the dead, and the Messiah shall shine upon you."
There you go.
That's
it. From the dead. We've been revived, guys. Each one has been revived. We've been converted. That's it, boy. It's such a beautiful gift. We should be so thankful. Where am I here? Atlanta. Did you have 1 Corinthians 15? Look at verse 57.
"But thanks be to Elohim, who gives us the victory through our sovereign Yeshua the Messiah."
Beautiful. Now, Philippians, chapter 1, Forfi, verse 3. What does that have to say?
"I thank my Elohim upon all my remembrance of you."
That's right. He remembers, we can remember, and we should remember all of the promises, all of the things that are written in here are in this book. It's the truth. It's not just a history book. People say, "Oh, the Old Testament, there's nothing in the Old Testament, just a bunch of history. We don't have to read that. We don't have to know what's going on there." Well, that's not true. It's living history. It's the story of the beginning, and it's a story of patriarchs. It's a story about all the tribes. It's a story about all the covenants, the commandments. And it's full. It's just so full of wonderful things.
It's an instruction book.
It is. It's definitely. Did I give you Philippians? No. Okay. Philippians 4. Look at Philippians 4, Miranda. Verse 6. What does that say?
"And nothing be anxious, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known as to Yahweh."
That's why it's so important for us to be praying, for raising these requests, these whatever we have concerns to our Father, you know, because He wants to hear them. He knows, but He wants that close relationship. He wants to be talking to you. He wants you to be listening to His voice, and He wants to hear your voice as well. Colossians? Did I give you Colossians?
Colossians 3.
Try 3:15, Mark.
"Let the peace of Christ be in control of your heart, for you were, in fact, called as one body to this peace, and be thankful."
There you go. It's just time after time, isn't it, guys? It's just, it's wonderful. I wanted to read a footnote here that I had in my Bible. I have what you call a Living Application Bible. It's a New International Version, but it really is wonderful. It's got so many good notes and cross references. And this 121, Romans 121, it was something that caught my eye that I wanted to share with you. Okay, it's talking about people that are...
Romans what?
Romans 1, and I want to read just a footnote that I have here, starting with 21. It says, "How could intelligent people, like you and me, turn to idolatry? Idolatry begins when people reject what they know about God, instead of looking to Him as the Creator and the Sustainer of life. They see themselves as the center of the universe. That's called a humanist, isn't it? Or what is that relation?
What's secular humanism.
Secular humanism.
Deal with that. That was actually one of the reasons why I pointed out in Genesis chapter 3 right away that the first lie, you don't have to die and you can be as gods.
Exactly.
And that's exactly what secular humanism still teaches to this day.
That's
is that you can make salvation for yourself. Buddha taught it.
Yep.
And it's wrong. And like I said, it was the first lie Satan taught and tried to foist on us.
That's all of your New Age philosophy. It's your New Age philosophy. And it says, they soon invent gods that are convenient projections of their own selfish plan and decree. That's what Pastor Abraham was talking about. 330,000 gods. Over there. Was there that many?
How can you live daily life without offending somebody's God in that kind of an environment?
Oh, you can't.
You know, it's just like...
You can't.
It's so completely wrong. And the other bad thing about that the Hindu system is the caste system.
Oh, yeah.
They believe in reincarnation.
Yeah.
So if you're stuck in a lower caste, you're stuck in a lower caste.
Never
change. And you can just expect to be treated like somebody in that caste is treated. And there's no conscience or desire to uplift these people because they're in their place.
That's right.
According
they're
to
the
their
servants.
Theology.
They're the lowlife. And you look down on those guys. Now, you know that's an entirely different way that God has formulated things and has shown us that kind of a thing is wrong. He's no respecter of man. You know, it doesn't make any difference whether it's Donald Trump, who I detest for the most part. But, hey, the United States has always given us the ability to do whatever we wanted to do, as long as we did it ethically and do it justly. And remembering our humility and meekness. You know, as soon as somebody gets to a position of authority and has made a lot of money and has acquired a certain lifestyle, they have a tendency, I'm not saying everybody, but they mostly have a tendency to look down and to belittle somebody else. And boy, that's really wrong. And where's that? I want to just read one other statement here. The common denominator of this type of thinking of idolaters is that they worship the things that God made rather than God Himself. In other words, talking about images, we're talking about graven images, we're talking about statues, we're talking about all those types of little fetishes and all those kinds of things. That we got to be careful about that, don't we? We got to really be careful about it. So, is there any priority greater than God? Do you have a dream? Most of us have some kind of a dream. We have some kind of an idea that we're looking forward to, something that we want to do or something that we want to be. Do you have a dream? You would sacrifice everything to realize? Now, that's the problem here. Do you have a dream that you would sacrifice everything to gain or to realize? Does God take first place? Do you worship God or idols of your own making? So this is an important thing that I want you to think about. We're coming up at 2:30. I'm going to end here with two more scriptures and then save The rest of this, because it all goes together. But look up, Mark, would you please look at 1 Thessalonians, Atlanta, Hebrews 12, 28. And then I'm going to continue this study at in the future.
What chapter?
About gifts. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. I'm going to be talking in the future about gifts. I'm going to be talking about giving, sharing, and the one thing I do want to share and want you to think about before we end up, go ahead with that 1 Thessalonians.
The New English Translation puts verse 16 through 18 in one sentence.
Yeah.
So I'll read all three.
Yes.
Always rejoice, constantly pray, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ.
And how do we understand God's will?
Reading about it.
Oh boy. Reading and meditation and prayer. We have to listen to that Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's not going to lead you astray. But you know other spirits will. There's a lot of spirits running around, Miranda. Especially you'll see them in school. You'll be taught. Even some of your teachers will have the wrong ideas. So you've got to be careful about that. You maintain your position, but you don't have to be antagonistic, especially with a professor. Because if you get on the wrong side of a professor, he's liable to fail you. He'll give you a failing degree, number. Right, Jen?
Yeah.
Well, you probably understand.
I had a religion and philosophy professor when I was a baby Christian.
Yes.
16.
And he tried to fail me because I believed that the prophets were really prophesying.
Mm-hmm.
And he took me to task because his reputation with the whole class became...
Yes.
I go, but this is a prophet. He goes, no, he couldn't have known what was going to happen, Isaiah. I go, well, that's what prophets do. Oh. Yeah.
No, but that's
it doesn't matter if you're right. I made the mistake of correcting my second chemistry professor twice in the first 2 weeks of class in front of the whole class.
Yeah, in front of the whole class.
And from that point on, no matter where I sat in the lecture hall, he looked at no one but me. So I stopped showing up for class and just had my roommates on the hall tell me when there was a quiz or a test, and I ended up getting a D in it just because I couldn't show up there anymore because... He took it so personally.
Yes. That doesn't mean that we're giving in to his ideas. No, we know that. You know where you stand. Alana, Hebrews 12:28. What does that say, please?
Therefore, receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may offer service well-pleasing to Yahweh with reverence and awe, for our Elohim is a consuming fire.
He'll burn up the bad things in your life. Right? He's a consuming fire. And he eventually is going to burn up all of sin and all of the sinful people and institutions, whatever might have to do with Satan. The last thing I just want to close with.
Can I go in that?
Yeah.
Please?
Yes.
This part of the scriptures helped me out this last week. Because I did feel like someone pressed all my wrong buttons or whatever.
Yeah.
Got me pretty upset.
Yeah.
But the scripture helped me because I read it just before it happened and I read it after, and it comes together with what we've been reading today.
Yes.
Romans 12:9. I'll go to the end on this. It's a little ways, but. Don't just pretend to love others, really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. when God's people are in the need, we be ready to help them.
That's right.
Always be eager to practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. That was the one I really
That's a hard
needed.
One, isn't it? That's the hardest one, guys.
Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy, and weep with those who weep. Mm-hmm. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And don't think you know it all. Never pay back evil with more evil. Mm-hmm. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scriptures say, I will take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they're thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame on their heads. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good.
What a wonderful passage, isn't it, though, guys? Those are the kinds of things that you have to be doing every day. Talked about sharing, hospitality, that kind of thing. It talked about integrity. Talks about your character.
Honorable.
And it talks about your attitudes. Humbleness, meekness. Giving a guy a hard time just because he gives you a hard time. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. I still like that. That's just an old adage, you know. It's very important. The thing about it is about sharing that I'll talk about in the future, but I just want to remind you that he has given us a lot of gifts, guys. And he wants us to share our time, number one, not necessarily the first thing, time, our talents, and also whatever money that we might have. If we should be, there's an admonition in the Old Testament about sharing a tenth, and it used to be, you know, a tenth of your product or your whatever you might grow, or whatever, if you have sheep, a tenth, you give a tenth to the church. And when we talk about the church, we're talking about people here. I'm not talking about giving it into some, like the papacy, the Catholic Church comes to mind when, you know, well, they want a tenth of this, they want a tenth of that, and then they've got all these all this gold in Rome, and yet they have to close down their schools. They're a school that is teaching young people. I mean, I just don't see the priorities there. But anyways, that's something that we want to make sure that we remember, that we want to share whatever we have. And that's an admonition from the Lord. It's several places in there. We'll talk a little bit more about that at a later time. But let's stand and close with prayer. And also, probably in the near future, we should be taking communion. What do you think, Mark?
Yes.
That might be a good idea. I'd like to take some communion here in the near future.
So, what?
Yeah. Does anybody feel led to close the meeting in prayer? Does anybody want? I just soon let anybody that feels led to do that to go ahead. As a matter of fact, I will say a few things, and anybody else wants to say something, just go right ahead, and then we'll just close. But dear Father Yahweh, I thank you so much for these folks. I feel like they're family to me, and I thank you that we can get together. I'm thinking we're like-minded. I'm thinking that we're, for the most part, we're in unity. We are of the same mind. We have the same goal. We have the same... all of us have different gifts. So that's something that we should be sharing and making sure that we act upon. We just don't listen to these things and talk about them, but we go ahead and move out and we walk the talk. I thank you for that and for the good words that you had today, for the wonderful scripture that we all enjoyed. And I thank you. I thank Yeshua. His precious name I pray. Go ahead, Mark, if anybody doesn't know.
Thank you, Father, for your word today. And as it comes upon us, we hope to go out and spread it in your holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.